1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at one of the keys to the Christian life, probably the most important, and that was obedience. You can't have a victorious Christian life if you're not striving to obey the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the second key to the Christian life, which was sacrifice. We saw the woman give that alabaster box of ointment to anoint the body of Jesus, worth a year's wages. And Jesus commended her for what she did. Remember Abraham, how God tested him through sacrifice. Adam and Eve, of course, were tested through obedience and they failed. But those are two definite keys to the Christian life. It's obedience and sacrifice. Today, we're going to look at the third, maybe the final, but we'll see. Key to the Christian life, and that is faithfulness. Now, I've tried to tie these in with the three vocations that you and I have been called to. You know, if in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says we're to be faithful or walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Well, what vocation is that? Other than being Christian, which is wonderful, have you been called to some specific vocations? And the answer is yes. One of the vocations you've been called to is to be a servant. And as a servant, we should obey. Another vocation you've been called to is to be a soldier. Look it up, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as a soldier, we should be willing to sacrifice. And the third vocation that we've been called to is that of a steward. We are all called to be stewards. And it's all through the scriptures, but we own nothing. God owns everything. We're just stewards. And as a steward, the number one requirement of being a steward is to be faithful, as we'll see. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul here, first talking about himself, he says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That is our title, be found faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we acknowledge its power and ask that you would use that power through the Holy Spirit today to speak to each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would get a hold of these great truths, that we might be effective servants of Jesus Christ, that we would live obedient lives, that we'd be willing to sacrifice for Christ. And as we'll see today, that we'd be willing to be faithful in all areas of our Christian walk. So, Lord, have your will in our hearts. If there's someone in our service not born again, may they see their need for Christ today and be born again. But may each of us push aside the distractions of life on this first day of the year and focus on hearing from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul there uses the word account in verse 1. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ." And the first thing we see in this passage is that God owns everything. We are just stewards. God owns it all. There are no exceptions, by the way, to that. It starts, and I've got a fancy 4T outline here. They all just happen to start with the same letter. It starts with our temple, our body. Did you know that God owns your body? 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let's turn there. Just two chapters over. It says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, we like to live our lives as if we own our own body. And we just want to do what we want to do. We want to go out and have fun and do our own thing. But we're just stewards of our body. The day that you got saved, God purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now he owns us. Which is not a bad thing, since he's a wonderful, loving, merciful, gracious Father. But he owns us. He owns us. The second thing that he owns is our time. The second T is our time. Ephesians 5:16, if you want to turn there. David said in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." David said, "Lord, teach us to number our days because We don't know how many we have, and therefore we need to be wise about how we use each one. But notice here in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming means to buy back. It means every day is a gift from God. And every day is an opportunity to serve God. And that we need to acknowledge that God owns our time. And we need to be good stewards of our time. We need to be good stewards of our bodies by avoiding the world, avoiding sin and so forth. And we need to be good stewards of our time or His time by being faithful to prayer and the Word and church and witnessing and on we could go. But it's His time, not ours. He owns it. That's why He told us in Ephesians 10 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is coming. Jesus is coming soon. And God wants us to be good stewards of our temple and our time. Thirdly, God owns our treasure. Now, we like to believe that we own it all, that it's our money, that it's our land, that it's our car. Actually, it all belongs to God. All of it. He says in Psalm 50, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. All those cattle, we think, I wonder what farmer owns all those. Actually, God owns them all. He owns everything. Everything that you can see with your eyes, that you can touch, God owns it all. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. So even the thing that all of our money is based on, which is supposedly gold sitting in a vault somewhere, God even owns that. He owns it all. That's why He says for us to put Him first as stewards of our treasure, right? Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, just as an example. But we are just stewards of our body. Therefore, we should treat it right. We should be avoiding the world as we're commanded to be separate from the world. And then we are stewards of our time. We should be faithful with our time to serve God. And we are stewards of our treasure, which is His treasure. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Look what He says in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we are just stewards. God owns our temple. God owns our time. God owns our treasure. And lastly, God owns our talents. Or our gifts. Go to 1 Peter 4:10 and we'll see this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The day that you were born again was the day that God gave you some gifts. It's up to you to know what they are, and as a steward of those gifts, to put them to use. If you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and Jesus asks you about them, the answer is not like the man in the parable, oh Lord, I buried them. Try to keep them safe until we see each other. Jesus is going to say, hold on. I gave those to you to put to use. Did you use them? Is it the word of wisdom? Is it the word of knowledge? Is it faith? Is it teaching, helps, governments, ministry, exhortation, giving, mercy? God gave you some of these gifts the day you were saved. Notice 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're to be good stewards of the gifts, or the talents that God has given us. But the first point I wanted to make here in this passage of 1 Corinthians 4 is that God owns everything. We're just stewards. And then the second thing, as Paul mentioned, is as stewards, we will give account. Go to Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah, we will not give account for our sins. Because if we would, that would be really, really terrible, wouldn't it? And by the way, the unsaved will give account for their sins. We read about it in Revelation chapter 20, where the books are open and the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books. But if you're born again and your name's in the book of life, you won't be at that judgment. You will be at the judgment seat of Christ, where you will not be judged for your sins. Those are paid for and done under the blood of Jesus. Amen. But you will give account of your stewardship. Luke 16, verse 2, he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. And if you read the parable, it's all about being a good steward. Which Paul says here in 1 Corinthians that we're stewards. And as stewards, we will give account. We talked about this recently in Wednesday night. Romans chapter 14 says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. All of us will give account. So the two things we see already in verse 1 is we're just stewards. God owns it all. We're stewards of our temple, our body. Therefore, we need to treat it right. Avoid the world. We're stewards of our time. Therefore, we need to be wise with our usage of our time. We are stewards of our talents. Our treasure. Everything that God has given us is actually His. Just to be a steward of and put to good use. And of the talents and gifts that He's given us. So back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Paul says that we will give account as stewards. But verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That word found, think about what that's saying. Jesus is basically saying, when I return, will I find you faithful? So the question isn't, well, you don't understand. 20 years ago, I used to be faithful. No. Are you faithful now? Will you be found faithful? We've all known and met Christians who used to be faithful and they're not faithful now. Where in the Bible does it say that we can stop being faithful? You can't find it. I don't care if you're in your 90s. You can still be faithful. You can be faithful to pray. You can be faithful in God's word. You can be faithful to witness for Jesus. You can always be faithful. So when He returns, will He find us to be found? Look at Luke 18, verse 8, if you would. Jesus asks a very sobering question about His return. And the question for you and I is, when Jesus comes back, will He find me faithful? As a steward, I don't own anything. God owns it all. I'm going to give account of my stewardship. But when He returns, will He find me faithful? Or will He find me that I've backed off, that I've quit being faithful, that I've given up? I tell you, Luke 18, 8, that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Isn't that a sobering question? Jesus saying, when I come back, what am I going to find? I've promised that I will come back. I've asked you to be looking and watching and waiting and be faithful. But when I come back, what will I find? Will I find people still trusting me? Will I find people still waiting for my return? People that are still faithful. And then in Hebrews 10:25, if you want to turn there, one example He gives here is the example, obviously, of being faithful to church. But He makes a statement in this phrase. It's quite powerful. Hebrews 10:25. Most of us know this verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And look at this next phrase. So much the more as you see the day approaching. That phrase, so much the more. Do you see what God is saying there? As we see that we're getting closer to the end, as we see that at any moment Jesus could return, we should be so much the more exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembling. In other words, being faithful. So much the more. A lot of people back off when they should be more faithful. Because it's close. And so the three things we find already in this passage, we're just stewards. God owns everything. He owns our temple. He owns our time. He owns our talents. He owns our treasure. God owns it all. Second thing we find is as stewards, we will give account. And the third thing we see is when Jesus returns, will he find us faithful? And the last thing is that the main requirement of a steward is faithfulness. Notice it says it is required in stewards. So we already know we're stewards. We don't own anything. We're just stewards of what God entrusts to us. And God says that it's required. It's not an option. It's a requirement that stewards be faithful. There was one man in the Old Testament. You've all heard of him. His name was Moses. One of those rare people that really touched God's heart. And if you go to Numbers chapter 12, I want you to see God's description of Moses. This is in the midst of another chastisement situation where God is having to chastise Israel. Numbers 12, verse 7. He says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Isn't that beautiful? This is God talking about Moses, who is faithful in all mine house. And then in Matthew 25, if you want to turn there, Jesus here, talking about the judgment. This particular judgment isn't necessarily our judgment. It looks like it's the judgment of the Gentiles and the Jews at the end of the tribulation. However, it's important for us to see what Jesus is commending here in Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Of all the things he could have commended, look what he's commending. Thou hast been faithful. And then Luke 12:42, we'll see it again. God here, again, mentioning the fact that we are stewards. Luke 12:42. "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Who is that faithful and wise steward? What a question. And then go to 2 Timothy 2:2, if you would. Paul here is talking to Timothy as a pastor. 2 Timothy 2:2. Giving Timothy pastoral advice. And one of the things he's reminding Timothy of is, Timothy, one of your jobs as the pastor is not only to pastor the flock, obviously, by feeding them the word of God and leading them and being an example and so forth, but also you always need to keep in mind, Timothy, that you're going to get older and that you need to duplicate yourself. You need to train other men to take over from your ministry and to go into the ministry. And it says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's a powerful verse. But look at the one criteria. Faithful. You know why that is? Because you can teach, Timothy, you can teach people how to preach. You can teach them doctrine from the scriptures. And all people that go into the ministry need to be taught those things. But you know what? You can't teach faithfulness. That's a character issue, isn't it? Faithfulness is not something that you can teach, but it is something that you can use, Timothy, as a criteria to decide who to lay hands on, who to invest your time in, who to teach, who to prepare. Use that as your criteria, Timothy, faithfulness. You know, someone says, oh, God's called me to be a missionary. You know what? If they're not faithful, God hasn't called them to be a missionary. God calls faithful people. Look at it through all of the scriptures. He calls people that are already busy, already serving. He doesn't call people that have just been sitting on the pew waiting for the call. He always calls people that are busy. Which, praise God, got some good news. It's not a secret anymore. We have another young man coming at the end of this month to study in the Bible college from the South Island. How exciting is that? And when his pastor rang me, he said, I've been struggling with this because he's one of our most faithful men. I said, brother, that's always how it works. The people that God calls are your most faithful. The people that are busy, the people that are serving, that's who God calls. He doesn't call the people that just show up now and then and don't invest themselves in the ministry. He calls the busy ones that are already serving. He said, I know that. It's going to be tough to see him leave. I said, well, you have to give your blessing. It's always the faithful ones. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, when you are choosing who to prepare for the ministry, who to take over for you someday, who to be other pastors in other churches, I want you to do what? Commit it to faithful men. Because that's not something you can teach, Timothy. That's something that has to be part of their character. When you even look at the requirements of a pastor or the requirements of a deacon, you'll see that almost every one of them has to do with their character rather than their training. Do they have the character to be a pastor or a deacon, as in this case? So what an amazing truth. And one of the keys to the victorious Christian life is just that one simple word, faithful. We need to be obedient. We need to be willing to sacrifice. But we have to be faithful. Paul says it's required in stewards, and we are all stewards. God owns it all, amen. He owns our time. He owns our talent. He owns our treasure. He owns our temple. He owns it all. As it's required in stewards that a man be found. Let's pray that God finds us faithful when he returns. That he be found faithful. That is the requirement of a steward. If you entrust your thing to someone else, say you're a farmer, and you entrust your whole herd to a helper, that's one of the main things you want, isn't it? Is he going to show up every day and do the job? The last thing you want is to entrust it to someone who, well, if he's not in the mood, he just doesn't show. Those cows have to be milked every day. You talk to employers today, one of their biggest frustrations is that people just aren't faithful anymore. I'm not in the mood to go to work today. I'm taking a mental health day. We already took 20. You don't need another one. And that's their biggest frustration, that they would just show up. We can train them how to do the job. We can show them what needs to be done. But if they don't show up, we can't get anything done. And, you know, God just wants Christians that will show up. Amen. Lord, I'm here. Here am I. Send me. I'm willing to be faithful. I'm going to be in the Word every morning. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to be faithful to witness to those the Holy Spirit speaks to me about. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to serve you with my gifts, but I'm going to be faithful. If we just made that one commitment for 2023, who knows when we get to heaven what would happen? We'll be amazed at the victories that would be won if Christians would just say, you know what, I'm going to be faithful this year. in all areas of my Christian life. I'm just going to be a faithful steward to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Master. I'm going to be faithful. So that He will say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Be found faithful. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your precious word. So many verses, Lord, that we find on being a steward and being a faithful steward. And I pray, Lord, that we would take this to heart and we would stop hesitating to give You our all. And we would realize how important it is that we commit ourselves to be a faithful steward in all areas of our Christian life, Lord. And I pray these commitments would be something we would fulfill for the entire year. And I know, Lord, the result will be blessings. Again, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray that they would realize Jesus died and rose again for them because they are sinners and need a Savior, and they would be saved today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name.